Sport at 6. The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Good evening and welcome along to the FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire. I'm Sam Bridges, and for the next hour I'm going to be joined by the editor of the72.co.uk, Tom Carnduff, as we discuss all things Football League as ever on your Tuesday nights. We're going to be hearing from the Rotherham chairman, Tony Stewart. They've had 46, can you believe it, applications for the vacant position at Rotherham United, and they are going to make an appointment before Christmas. Maybe Santa would do a better job in the hot seat at Rotherham, where, of course, are rock bottom of the Championship. Leeds United, well, they're up to fourth in the Championship following their win over Aston Villa. We'll talk about them and the rest of the Yorkshire sides too. We'll talk not just football, but some fighting. Owen Doyle and Jermaine Beckford, well, had a bit of a scrap on the pitch playing for Preston at the weekend against Sheffield Wednesday. We'll talk about the future of Jordan Rhodes and the managerial merry-go-round as the MK Dons finally appoint a manager. Plus, it's a knockout stage of the Checkatrade Trophy. Exciting. Hello and welcome to the FL 72. Tom Carnduff is in the studio. Nothing has fallen out of his jeans this week.
Sorry.
How are you doing, Tom?
It's good. I've wore different jeans this week.
Good.
It's just been a nightmare, to be honest. It's just been an absolute nightmare this week.
He had a hole in his pocket, by the way. That's what we're talking.
Yeah, for those who aren't regular
listeners of the podcast or anything like that.
Yeah, had a bit of a problem. It's fixed. It's all moved on.
Yep,
we've moved on.
A wardrobe malfunction, as it's known in the industry. The showbiz circles in which we move. Welcome along to another week of the FL 72. You are typing very loudly, Tom.
Sorry, do you want me to tap?
Your fingers to
tap
a little bit more smoothly. As ever on the show, we talk all things Football League. We have, of course, the knockout stage of the Checkatrade Trophy to talk about a little bit later on. Some glamour ties, and we've got one of our Radio Yorkshire reporters at one of the biggest, Doncaster against Blackpool. So we shall check in with Liam Williams at the Checkatrade Trophy before 7 o'clock. Good days, bad days as well. Tom's feature, but he's added a second feature.
Just features.
Good at these features.
I know. It's just a show of features. This and
so what have we got? What's going on?
Do you want me to reveal the feature now?
I think you could tease it.
Tease it. Well, Owen Coyle pretty much features every week on this show, whether he likes it or not. He features on the show quite a lot. So I decided to turn him into a feature and kind of highlight how quickly he answers questions when kind of put towards him.
Excellent stuff. Tom has come up with a second feature, so that's good news for the show. Tony Stewart will be on the show as well, the Rotherham United chairman. 46 managerial candidates applying for the job, so he's got to whittle them down and find another man who hopefully this time he won't sack, or they won't walk out after a few weeks. And we'll talk about Preston North End as well, the scuffle between Jermaine Beckford and Owen Doyle at the weekend. And Robin Nielsen is the MK Dons' new manager, head coach, whatever you want to call him. But we'll kick off, as ever, Tom, with Yorkshire news, and it will delight you because we used to do the show every week, and Leeds United somehow, whether it was good, it was bad, it was indifferent, used to worm their way to the top of the running order. But your beloved Leeds are now in a very good position in the Championship, fourth after that win against Aston Villa.
High-flying Leeds, so it's a bit... it's a bit weird to kind of associate Leeds with the Championship playoff places. I think it's kind of only been it was 3 years ago, the last time Leeds were as high as they were, and even then they kind of only peaked at fifth. So to be fourth, especially to get wins over Aston Villa, who, you know, since the managerial change have improved a bit, people are still fancying them to kind of lay a bit of a second half of the season, push up the table. So great result for Leeds, and then, as you said, fourth in the league, can't really complain at this point in the season.
No, going very well under Gary Monk. We kind of talk about it and touch on it each and every week about what the differences have been. But it was really a good stern test for Leeds at the weekend. As you said, Aston Villa rejuvenated under Steve Bruce, and they came out with flying colours.
They did, yeah. And it's kind of, I think, a bit of a testament to Leeds and to Gary Monk and how he's turned around that Leeds defence, because I think over the past few seasons, Leeds' defensive problems have just been woeful. No matter the manager, they've not really been able to solve it. It's been a problem. So, to, you know, come up against teams with, you know, the individual players that the likes of Aston Villa have, and to keep a clean sheet, which of course then helps get a win, it's good. And it's not just kind of, you know, you're looking at Chris Woods, you're looking at Kemar Roofe finally getting his goal. But then you've got to look at kind of the other end of the pitch, that Leeds defence, the fact that he has tightened it up, got it sorted. It's kind of one of those things that I think a lot of Leeds fans thought could really never be done after watching Leeds over the past few seasons. So just all around the pitch, it's a bigger improvement, and Leeds are, of course, a much better team to watch at the moment than they have been.
Yeah, so things going well. And then the next two games gives Leeds a real opportunity to make a big statement for the rest of the season, because Brighton have 39 points in second place still. That's seven ahead of Leeds on 32. But the two meet on Sky on Friday night, and interesting televised fixtures. I know the lads are all looking forward to a drive down to and from Brighton on a Friday night. But then, of course, Tuesday night, Reading come to Elland Road. So two games there where Leeds can jump ahead of Reading and close down Brighton.
Yeah, especially like Brighton away, Leeds haven't had too much success in recent seasons. You know, they've been getting the draws. They seem to be high-scoring draws, some of them. And, of course, you look last season and that awful, awful Leeds performance. You know, questions were asked about Evans. You know, there was even talk at half-time of him getting the sack. But, of course, he didn't in the end. But, regardless, it was a bad night for a Leeds fan. But kind of looking at that, I think it's weird that we always seem to play Brighton away on a midweek. It never seems to be a weekend fixture, it's always in the week. Never an easy place to go. So, you know, you take a point from that, and with Reading, I suppose, I think, you know, it'd be difficult to play them next. I think if it was the other way around, it might be more difficult than it is, because Reading, of course, coming off the back of a 5-0 defeat, I think that's probably the worst time to play some teams, as it kind of, it's a bit of a kick for them. They need to get back looking for a win, so hopefully they'll kind of avoid that in a way when, of course, at the weekend when Reading come on the Tuesday. I think it's hard to kind of say, yeah, how many points Leeds will get. Of course, you can't go, well, Leeds will get six. I think, you know, you've got to look at your home games if you are a genuine promotion contender, that you need to be winning your home games. Of course, you can get anything from Brighton. Not many teams do. That's always a bonus. So I think, looking at those two games, if Leeds can get four out of six points, rather, than they're going to be in a really strong position going forward.
We'll hear from Gary Monk now. I think he's back in front of the press tomorrow ahead of that Friday night game. But here's what he had to say about the latest impressive win under his tenure against Villa on Saturday night.
Gary, well done. Fantastic second half. Certainly the last 20 minutes really got you the 3 points.
Yeah, I think it was actually when we scored the first goal is when we played our best football. We looked more like ourselves when we scored the first goal. I think before that, we weren't at our best, especially with the ball. So we were disappointed with that, to be honest with you. Spoke to the players at half-time. But I think from the first goal, once we scored it, I think we looked very strong physically as well. I think we finished the game really strong and we looked the most dangerous team. And if anything, we looked like we would have extended the lead rather than conceded anything. So it's been a very difficult week. The critical side of me is not too happy with the first half especially, but considering the week that we've had, I think the effort and the commitment, the mentality and everything from a very young group, very inexperienced group, has been first class.
We've spoken quite a lot about Kemar Roofe and he needs a goal. He's got one, and you know what a goal for him as well.
Yeah, important for him. It's been coming. He's been very unlucky not to. But I think his performances over recent weeks especially have really helped him and helped the team, and he's deserved that. But he'll tell you himself, the most important bit was the 3 points and contributing a performance. The most important is the team win together and lose together, and right now we're on the right end of results, which is important and which is good.
And a fantastic way, you know, 32,000 again here today. Yeah. They've stuck with you again, and they've got the 3 points. You're fourth in the table now, Gary. I know you keep playing that down, but they're getting excited now.
Yeah, I said all along they play a vital role with us, and an understanding has been built between the players and the fans and everyone at the club, and that's crucial to what we're doing here. And like I said, they stuck with the team. They would have been as disappointed with the first half display as we were because of the standards that we set, and they stuck with us and they pushed us over the line. I think that support and big crowds supporting our team is vitally important for these young players to experience, but also to help them grow. And I think all of that going hand in hand is something that we're building, which is great.
Was there a conscious effort second half to play a bit further up the field?
Yeah, felt we were a little bit passive first half, with and without the ball. I still don't think that we were at our best the whole game, but I think when we scored the first goal is when we looked more like ourselves. We started to move the ball a bit quicker, we started to create better opportunities, and defensively we looked very solid. Pleasing. And like I said, everyone played their part today. The crowd were fantastic and got us right over the line.
You talk about the squad, but I think when you first came in and Noonan or Kane came in and with Breakup, that was seen as your first choice midfield partnership. Two young boys desperately to get their shirts now, aren't they?
Yeah, that's the competition that you want. That's the mentality that you want. Something that we've tried to put in place with these players. And when you get the opportunity, you have to take it. And considering the two of them, Calvin and Ronnie, also Kamar against Jedinak, Gardner and Westwood, who've got a lot of Premier League experience. I thought those guys went toe-to-toe today. I don't normally like to single out players because we're very much about the team, but I thought those three especially were against very difficult opposition. I thought they came out on top, and that will be another great experience for them and something that will help them in the future.
I think Haddie thought he'd scored at the end. And Chris brought the news soon that he put it in.
Or? Yeah, I think he broke it to him straight away. But we don't care who scores the goals, to be honest with you. We care that we win and we perform, and we show a good mentality. We show everything that we can, and try and put our best on the pitch. And even when we're not at our best, we've got the mentality at this moment in time where we're solid and we stick at it and we try and grind through. And all in all, this week, I have to be pleased with. It's been a massive effort from everyone, and as you can see, the 18 that we had there in the squad is the only 18 players that we have fit in the first team. So we need to get bodies back out on the pitch. We need bodies to help the squad. But everyone's working in a good way. I thought physically we looked really strong as well towards the end, considering the week that we had, and all of those things we have to be pleased with.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
There we go, Gary Monk talking about that win over Aston Villa, and attention quickly turning to Brighton on Friday night. Attention also turned last night, Tom, to the FA Cup third round draw. It was Leeds against Cambridge,
yes,
which is an interesting tie because it pits an old boy back at Elland Road.
Yeah, definitely. Sean Derry, of course. For Cambridge, and our manager there, I think he had the spell at Notts County as well. Glad it's at Cambridge. I think if it was at Leeds, I would have been a bit underwhelmed by it, but at least it's a nice little different
noise. What's the noise? I didn't know you were.
Now, you know when you just kind of watch the cup draw and teams come out like Wigan, you're like, oh, no, I don't want them. But Cambridge, at least it's one of those where there's potential for a banana skin, as I think they showed kind of in the last round with their win over, I think, Coventry, that's who they played. I was trying to think of the team. Coventry, they showed, you know, that they are serious about this competition. But it's still a good game, a different venue, I suppose, a different team for Leeds to play. They've played a few League One, League Two teams in the early stage of the EFL Cup. So, yeah, it was a good draw, I think, for Leeds. But I think overall, when you kind of look at the draw as a whole, I think it was a bit disappointing. Just some of the ties, there wasn't really any tie that you kind of look at and it stands out and you could go, yeah, you know, that's definitely going to be a TV game.
Yeah, and some interesting ones. Huddersfield Town against Port Vale for the rest of our Yorkshire teams. Sheffield Wednesday, semi-interesting, going away to Middlesbrough. But yeah, again, it doesn't fill you with much glamour, does it?
No, I think last season, obviously, those two top teams in the Championship. No, I think it would have been a good game if it was kind of this time last season, but now I'm not so sure with how serious Middlesbrough will take it, because of course how well they're doing it in the Premier League. But I think you just look down the draw, and the one thing that strikes me, you know, in the Champions League, where it's earlier stages was it round of 32 where you can't, round of 16 where you can't have draw teams from the same country as you. Why can't they do that where you don't draw, you can't draw teams in the same league as you?
Yeah, that is always underwhelming when it is someone in your own division.
Logically how it'd work, but you're looking at like QPR, Blackburn, Hull, Swansea, West Ham, Man City, Wigan Forest, Birmingham, Newcastle, etc. There's just so many that are just in the same league, and I think it just underwhelms it a bit.
Ones. Preston against Arsenal.
Yeah, be decent. Good. I think when you're a football league team and you've got the home advantage, I think that helps massively, as we've kind of seen in recent seasons in domestic cups. You look at Sheffield Wednesday v Arsenal. But yeah, I think just overall it's a bit of a... I don't know. I think maybe it's difficult to put, you know... You always, the kind of build-up's always there because it's the third round. And it's just kind of a bit underwhelming, I think. Just there's no standout ties for me.
Maybe that'll make it better. We shall see. Sean Derry, though, the Cambridge manager, of course, former Leeds United player, he joined Mark Wilson on the All Sports show last night, and Scully as well, got in the name check of Gary Schofield. But they had a chat all about the draw.
We'll back ourselves, of course. You know, we have to. We're at home and... We're on form at this moment in time. I know there's a lot of football to be played before January the 7th arrives, but no, for us, you know, we're delighted with the draw, and you know, we obviously, I'm not a fool, you know, if we've got to hope that Leeds United have an off day on that game and we play to the absolute maximum of our ability.
Because you just missed out on the playoffs last season, Sean. A bit of a sticky start, wasn't it, at the beginning? Probably not the wins you wanted early on, but all of a sudden you're climbing the table nicely and you know, you're on the fringe again of the playoff places, just 3 points off it now.
No, it was a tough start. It was. You know, we played a number of tough opponents in the first 8 games. Went to extra time, like I said, against Sheffield Wednesday, and then played again that weekend and didn't do ourselves justice, and we had a... You know, we just got a little bit of a hangover for a few games, and it took us a while to find our feet in the league. So once we have, we've managed to, you know, really come alive of late. So I'm delighted with that. Obviously, we would have loved a few more points on the board earlier on, but we didn't get it. We, you know, we stayed together and kept grounded and kind of got ourselves through it, which has been brilliant.
How tough has it been managing in League Two? Obviously, as a player, you know, you've played higher up the ladder for most of your career, pretty much. So how's it been managing at League Two level? How have you found it?
Well, firstly, I mean, making that transition from a player 1 week to managing the next, when I left Millwall on loan and went to take the next, the Notts County job the following weekend, you kind of think, you know, are you ready for it? And then very quickly you realise just how much you don't know as a manager. So it took us a while to, you know, really understand the level, really understand the players, and got used to the, you know, the different types of systems that League One and League Two were playing. But I had a great help with Greg Abbott. I mean, Greg was fantastic for me as an assistant manager at Notts County. Really taught me so much of the role of a manager. And you know, I feel a lot more confident in this role at Cambridge United than perhaps what I did at Notts County. You know, I understand the job a lot more now.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire with Sam and Tom.
Sean Derry there, the Cambridge United manager, talking about that tie with Leeds. And good to see him getting on all right now at Cambridge after a bit of a sticky start. But he is a very good man and very good manager, in my opinion. Tom, elsewhere, Huddersfield Town. Well, it's... they're in a bit of a sticky situation at the moment because the results have turned. It was a draw against Blackburn at the weekend, which in current form, I suppose it's a decent result, and it stops the rot.
Yeah, especially away from home, I suppose. It's still a point picked up, but you kind of look at where Huddersfield were. They're now out of the top six. I think they're sitting in eighth at the moment. The results just haven't kind of been there. And in fairness to Blackburn, you know, I think they've got, what, 2 wins, 2 draws out of their last 5 games. So the only loss was Aston Villa away, which, you know, you can kind of understand. But yeah, I think it's just concerning more than anything. No win in 5. You're looking at, you know, and in that Fulham, that kind of 5-0 loss to Fulham at the time, it was it's a blip, you know, shouldn't really look too much into it. And then since then, they've not really recovered. So it is a point, and they have kind of stopped that losing streak that they were on. But for a team who were where they were, you know, I think they'd be disappointed if they weren't really challenging playoffs after the start they had. Against a team like Blackburn, who are still down there, they're not safe by any means. And really, you'd probably be expecting Huddersfield to get a win there. They might be viewing it as 2 points dropped as opposed to one picked up.
Yeah, it was an interesting debate on the Yorkshire Football Show that we have on TV Yorkshire. Catch that online at tvyorkshire.co.uk about Huddersfield Town. And Joe Rawson was pretty much slating them a little bit, saying that the form's, you know, have been terrible and perhaps they're not good enough to be a top eight team in the Championship. But looking at the stats at the weekend, and Huddersfield, you know, had a decent amount of possession. They had a lot of shots, almost 30 attempts on goal against Blackburn at the weekend. But it just doesn't feel right. It doesn't necessarily feel maybe that the squad's too young, or they need someone a bit more experienced and prolific in there, certainly up top to regularly get the goals for them. It just seems like they're maybe just missing one or two elements.
Potentially, yeah. I think when you looked at them over the summer, they weren't just signing players for the sake of signing players. It was a case of, well, you know, we're signing the players that we need. We're signing the right players. It's disappointing, but you know, the fact is that I think they've only won two games since the start of October, if you include the very first game in October as well. And it's kind of worrying form for a team who were kind of running away with it a bit. I know it was very early days, but they did look the real deal and they did look like a team who were promotion contenders. I think the game against Wigan potentially kind of highlighted how some teams have started working them out now, how their game kind of was focused a lot of playing the ball across the floor, passing a 1-2 movement, etc. When the ball's in the air, they kind of, I think that's when they struggle, and that was kind of evident against Wigan, who, fantastic result for them. Huddersfield, I think the John Swift Stadium was going to be one of those places where any team was going to be lucky to get anything, let alone a win. So whether they kind of assess the situation in January, I think, you know, they've got to look to strengthen, even if it does kind of stop that rot.
Interesting to see what happens with Narky Wells and whether they do sell, given the fact that he has said he wants to leave the club. Would they be better? I know it's a difficult time to buy, but you could argue that if he's not going to be playing much of a part, that maybe they just take the money that you can get, a good 7-8 million you would imagine in January for Narky Wells, and see what you can do, even if you maybe get a loan or something for the end of the season. And it gives you a bit of time, and you know your future, and you know that he's not going to be part of the plans going forward.
Yeah, I think with that type of money, I know it's not that much for a kind of top Championship striker nowadays, but with 7-8 million, you could probably get someone, I think, from the Premier League, even if it's only on loan, like you said, to the end of the season. You're looking at the likes of kind of Benik Afobe, maybe, who did jobs in the Championship, who isn't really getting the game time at Bournemouth. Jordan Rhodes has been mentioned as well. Speak about him a bit later. They're kind of not getting the game time that they'd be expecting, and whether it is a loan, whether kind of Bournemouth, Middlesbrough, looking at those two players, would prefer a loan, I'm not so sure. But, you know, if a player doesn't want to be there, of course, you can't really force them to stay. And, you know, if they can get a better option in or someone equal to him, even if it's on loan, then surely you get kind of bank the cash from it and strengthen elsewhere if they do need to bring in one or two across the pitch to kind of stop the bad form they're in.
Looking at the next couple of games, on Saturday they're back at the John Smiths. Bristol City, the visitors, they're kind of in mid-table, going along nicely. 3 points behind Huddersfield, incidentally, so a Bristol City win at the weekend would see those teams in mid-table start to close the gap even further on Huddersfield Town and the rest of the teams in that playoff picture. And then they go to Burton on Tuesday night. And Burton, of course, who've been in a bit of a slump themselves, had a good win at the weekend beating Rotherham. But a good opportunity now for Huddersfield to play two teams, one mid-table, one down towards the bottom, and then all of a sudden you kind of get that feel-good factor back.
Yeah, definitely. I think in terms of their games going into 2017, it shouldn't, on paper, be too much of a challenge for them, especially, you know, they've still got the quality in that team. I think it's just a case of trying to get out of the bad form. And Bristol City, Burton, they are two winnable games for a side like Huddersfield. And then you've got Norwich, who haven't been in the best of form. I know they got a great kind of 5-0 win at the weekend, but overall, over the past few weeks, they've not been good enough. A lot of pressure on Alex Neil, so could be again a place where they could get a result. And then you're looking at Forest, Blackburn. I know they drew to Blackburn, sorry, but again, you know, on paper you're looking at them as winnable games. So they've kind of got a good run in for a team who, you know, they're still eighth. I know they've dropped down, but they still are at the top end of the table. And you know, for a run into till the January transfer window, that's pretty good going, and one you'd expect them to pick a few points up.
Level on points with Norwich at the moment. I'm sure they'd have taken that at the start of the season. Both teams on 30 points in 7th and 8th. Sheffield Wednesday on 31 points. Decent for them at the weekend against Preston. We'll get onto that very shortly, but let's actually stick with that one. Blackburn Rovers, who in a good run of form at the moment, and it is now time for the Tom Carnduff second feature.
It is.
The big unveil.
It is. 30-second Owen Coyle. See how much you can fit in 30 seconds.
Count your own words.
I'm disappointed with the set play we've lost. I think something worked very hard, and I think the runner from the edge of the boxes has caught our lads on the hop. Great delivery, I've got to say, which Huddersfield did all day, because they're a good side. They never led the league for 3 months by accident. They were there for a reason, because they're a very good side. But you know, we picked ourselves up, we showed the heart and the spirit. Did we pass and move the ball well today? No, we didn't. We'd luck spells here and there, but what we did show again, coming from behind, there's real spirit, real energy, real desire to do well for the football club.
Ooh, I lost count. Did you?
No.
I lost count.
No,
I make
chance.
It definitely over 130.
It's impossible. If
in 30 seconds, and they say about 3 words a second.
It's just the speed that he talks at. It's just incredible. I don't know whether we start offering prizes for anyone who can actually work out the exact number of words he says in 30 seconds.
It could be a competition and
that. Whether it requires an expert, I'm not too sure, but it's a lot of talking, a lot, and quick as well. It's kind of like he kind of does all his prep before the interview. He knows what he's going to say, and he's going to get it out as quickly
as he
can.
He's polished, his old Owen.
Oh, it's incredible. It's not just a one-off. Like I said, it's every week. It's just, OK, Owen, calm down. I can't quite hear what you're saying. Even then, I think he was complimenting Huddersfield but saying they weren't good enough, but still got a point. I'm not so sure, but that's it. Owen Coyle, 30 seconds. How many words can he get in?
Well done, Owen. I definitely make it over 130. Answers on a postcard if you can get it right. Maybe we'll try and source a prize for next week and start this competition properly. We're turning a feature into a competition, Tom.
It's evolving.
That's
evolving.
How radio evolves. Ever evolving is Rotherham United. Onto the latest search for a new manager after Kenny Jackett walked out. And, well, Tony Stewart has been speaking to Radio Yorkshire today. We'll play this bit of interview first and then talk about it afterwards. Here is Tony Stewart talking about his search for a new manager at Rotherham.
Right, well, Tony, first of all then, a bit of an update on where you are in terms of the management situation. Have you started interviewing people yet?
No, we've not. They were still coming yesterday. I think it was something like 46 applicants that's come in, and we decided that what we would do, we'd allow, you know, the names to come in. And meanwhile, we've obviously got Paul Warnes, who was the fitness coach, he's been here for, 10 years, and a player before that, to just take charge temporarily. And he's had one game at Burton. We saw a little bit of difference there. And he's also recruited a number two in John Brecken. Again, a stalwart of Rotherham United. And, you know, at the moment, the team are in safe hands, and it allows us to look in detail at the applicants. And I think that from that, what we will do, certainly this week, is shortlist and probably start interviewing next week. So, we want to take our time on this. It's very important that we get the right man and make sure that we've got the right calibre to fit the post.
And just looking at getting this new person in, is it a case that you'd ideally want them in before the start of January, just so that they've got that full month, really, to look at the transfer window?
Yeah, I think that makes sense, you know, because obviously we have done preparatory work. Phone calls have been made to agents, to managers. We're already in the throes of preparing for the January window. But you're right, a new manager comes in, he has to have a say in it, he has to have a slant of view, and we always give it, you know, Rotherham, we always try and appease the manager, give the manager what he wants, and that won't change. So, yeah, it makes sense that the manager that you want, he'd have to be in before Christmas, so that he had a view and certainly would be able to have a big say on the new recruitment.
Football chat and much more. The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
There we go. A new manager coming soon to Rotherham United. Going to be interesting to see who gets the job. Plenty of interest. 46 applicants. Someone in before Christmas, Tom, so they can have a say on recruitment. But really, how much more can Rotherham do and whoever's coming into the job do in January?
It's difficult. It's really difficult. I think they've got, what, 7 points in half a season. I'm not sure kind of the budget that they may be operating on as well. You know, Stubbs made a lot of signings. They did bring a lot of players in over the summer, and whether those players are still going to be useful to the new manager, you don't quite know. It's difficult, I think, for anyone coming into it. It is going to take, I think, even, you know, Neil Warnock, if they were this bad last season, if someone like Neil Warnock came in, I think even he would struggle to kind of keep them in the league. It's going to be a massive ask. I think it's going to take a strong character to turn it round. I know you shouldn't really be too pessimistic and look too early, but the fact is they are kind of bottom. They've already got a gap on, a big enough gap on the team above them, let alone the safety places. So it's going to be a big ask, but again, it's not impossible. I think they just really need to make sure they do get it right this time.
An interesting one, looking at the markets, because Stephen Presley is odds on to get the Rotherham job, but according to Tony Stewart, they've not even spoken to anyone yet.
Yeah, it's a bit... It's interesting that he says they've not spoke to anyone yet. I can understand trying to get someone in for January, but you've still got games until that point, until Christmas, where you need to try and get the points as quickly as you can. I can understand maybe taking time to make sure the appointment's right, especially after last couple of times where, you know, they've made appointments and it's kind of not lasted. I think there's kind of mixing that with making sure that you're going to get someone in who is going to be right, but it's got to be soon, because if you're leaving it and you're leaving it and you're leaving it, you're going to keep dropping points where teams above you are just going to keep mounting. And it might be at a stage where even if anyone comes in, then they could be pretty much down before they've kind of even got started.
Pretty much the case, but an interesting one to watch. Interestingly, Ronnie Moore,
is
the second favourite for the job. Could he go back?
I don't know. I think... I'm not sure how popular that decision will be, whether that's kind of a... doing it for the name, because they did bring back John Brecken, was it? Joined as coach on an interim basis. So whether they're bringing him back, looking to bring Ronnie Moore back alongside, I'm not too sure, but there's not many options that realistically I think they can go with. I know you mentioned there Paul Warren, of course, temporary charge, but I don't think, in the betting anyway, I don't think he's a serious contender. And then you're looking at the likes of Malky Mackay, Phil Brown and Russell Slade. And are they going to be kind of characters to kind of turn it around?
Yeah.
I don't really think so.
A couple of people that aren't really in the betting for this job, but they're in the betting for the Bury job, which is still available. Chris Brass is the odds-on favourite for that one. Phil Neville now drifting for the Bury manager's job. But two people that are in the Bury list, but not in the Rotherham list, Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, of course, left QPR... was until he left Burton, where they were on course for promotion. So a man that has got a team together to get out of League One. All right, Nigel Clough finished the job. But Gary Caldwell, another one, 20-1. Obviously lost his job at Wigan last season. Took a team that were in a bit of disarray with Wigan dropping out of the Championship, and did a very good job in a short space of time of sorting it out and getting them up and winning the league. So two candidates there for me who Rotherham should be looking at.
I can understand it. I think it's a bit of a surprise they're not in the market, but you look at Rotherham, do Rotherham need someone who's going to be experienced, a manager who's got plenty of experience under his belt, who can come in and turn it round, because I think it's not a normal situation that they're in. They are really, really struggling. You can point to, you know, the likes of, I don't know, when you look at Premier League, you can go, oh, well, Sunderland, when they were in situations like that. I'm not sure someone like Gary Caldwell, Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, who, you know, did well in managerial jobs in the past, but whether they've got that wealth of experience required like a Neil Warnock, who could come in and turn it round.
Yeah, I can't say. This is where the kind of Kenny Jackett thing falls down, because everyone expected Kenny Jackett to go in there and for it to be, all right, we're pretty much down, we'll have a good go at it, but it's a rebuilding job, and it's looking forward to next season. And as you said before, games in December, Rotherham are going nowhere fast at the moment. you just, by the time someone comes in, it's January, you've maybe hit double figures of points, but let's face it, probably not at this stage. It is kind of a job then to prepare for next season and try and end the season on as much of a high as possible, so that when you're in League One next year, you can start off, and someone's not coming in the summer to rip it all up again. It's a job that starts now for next season.
Yeah, it depends, obviously, whether they accept it like that. I know that's worked for teams in the past. I think it would be a big ask for anyone, like I've said, to come in and instantly turn it round, whether, you know, they want that. And you're looking even in the betting, someone like Phil Brown, as silly as it sounds, whether he's maybe the kind of motivation, I'm not too sure, that the team need. But it's difficult. It's difficult. I think, you know, what you just said, I think they should kind of accept maybe that they are going to get relegated, or they're in a position to get relegated. Give someone like Caldwell, who can kind of have the summer to, or the second half of the season and then the summer to build. But for a Rotherham fan, you don't kind of want to accept defeat on the 6th of December. You want to kind of see your team fighting. I know we're talking them down, but it's not impossible for them to turn it around. If they can string a couple of good results together, they're well back in the mix. But it's finding that balance of someone who can do that and kind of, you know, giving someone who is going to do the right job.
Yeah. You should work in PR, because that is a very positive spin on the situation. Tom, thank you very much for that. We should crack on, because we've done quite a bit of Yorkshire news. We should talk about the rest of the Football League next. Still to come, we've got good days, bad days as well, and we shall check in at the Checker Trade Trophy.
Christmas is almost here. I need to get to TK Maxx. With huge deliveries of brands and unique gifts at up to 60% less than the RRP arriving almost every day, get perfect prezzies at ridiculously good prices. Find surprising gifts for less online and in-store today. TK Maxx. Big labels, small prices, ridiculous gifting possibilities.
Come on, girl!
In life, there are clever choices and not so clever choices. Choosing to curse at the tractor driver holding you up before realising he's getting out. He's 6 feet six. Oh, and built like a...
You got somewhere to say.
Is a not so clever choice. Choosing to heat your off-grid home with Calagas to hide your tank underground is a clever choice. See how easy it is to switch at Cala.co.uk. Ooh.
The FL72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Hello and welcome to the 72, or welcome back Sam and Tom with you for another 20 minutes and then we ditch Tom, we kick him out of the studio and we're talking boxing between 7 and 8, myself and Paul Silky Jones, Yorkshire former light middleweight champion of the world, joins me to talk about lots of things, about Joshua Molina at the weekend, the rest of that card, some boxing news, the performance of Billy Joe Saunders at the weekend, Josh Warrington, the Leeds Warrior, his split from Matchroom Boxing, and we'll talk a bit about Kell Brook as well and his imminent return to £147 next year. But for now, we're talking football, and we'll move on to the rest of the Football League news. The yellow ticker on Sky Sports News, Tom, a few moments ago, told us that John Joe Shelvey and Paul Dummett have had their suspensions withdrawn for their red cards against Nottingham Forest at the weekend. A bizarre game for Newcastle they're involved with on Friday night. The right decision for you to see those suspensions rescinded?
It's always difficult to kind of say right, wrong decisions, but for Newcastle, I think it's kind of important.
Good news. The Shelby one was interesting.
I think it was... I think the biggest thing for Newcastle is probably that, regardless, they still lost the game. And for the position they're in, they wouldn't want to be dropping points. I think it was kind of a mad first half. I think the Shelby one was interesting. But more interestingly for me was the fact that Forrest's kind of inability to finish the penalties that were presented to them was more shocking than anything, even with two penalty takers they both missed. But that's going to be massive for them to have, especially Shelby back. He's been such kind of an influential player for them so far this season. It shows that, you know, I think it's rare that... Well, I say rare. Usually when you see teams have appealed red cards, they're usually not really given kind of the time of day, but to see both overturned, it's massive and kind of shows that where the right-wrong decision debate was, that they probably were the wrong calls at the time.
Mm. Yeah, two cracking saves from Carl Darlow, the Newcastle United goalkeeper. Newcastle had those bizarre decisions. Then we had a bizarre incident in the Sheffield Wednesday-Preston game. Owen Doyle and Jermaine Beckford come into to blows. What did you make of that?
Bizarre. Bizarre, I think, with any case. The only one that sticks out in mind where that's happened before was Lee Bowyer, Kieran Dyer when they were at Newcastle. Bizarre, I know the term impact sub is used a lot, but I don't think they expected Doyle to... Well, I think they were hoping that he'd score a goal, but then I think they weren't expecting him 10 minutes later to get into a fight with his own striking partner and teammate. Incredible. Whether it's just frustrations that, you know, they were losing the game, they were chasing the game, especially after scoring the bit of momentum they had. You know, most football players are very passionate players, and it's rare that you see it spill over to that, but it was incredible to watch. At least kind of the players have apologised. I think the fine money is going to be used to refund the Preston fans who travelled. So I think it's clear that they realised what they did was wrong, and you'd expect after that you probably won't be seeing it again.
An interesting one. I didn't realise... I'm not the biggest Jermaine Beckford fan in the world. I know you're a Leeds fan,
yes,
so you'll love him. But I didn't realise he had that kind of fight in him.
He's a passionate player. I think every player is, really. I think it's just kind of when the situation you're in, I suppose a few words get said and it kind of spills over like it did, but not really the situation they wanted, especially playing against 10 men Sheffield Wednesday at the time. To get two of your players sent off for fighting each other is bizarre, and you don't really want to point to it as why they lost the game, but it certainly didn't help at the stage where they were chasing it and trying to get a point.
The team news is coming in the Champions League tonight. Manchester City in action, of course, and have named a 16-year-old on their bench, Phil Foden.
Wouldn't say I know much about him. Of course, 16-year-old Sessegnon at Fulham, he's getting all the attention that, not put in our schedule, but saw that he's interested in the top teams in the Premier League, so whether we'll see him making his Champions League appearance soon, I'm not too sure, but brave move. I suppose they're already through, aren't they, City, I think they've already qualified.
Yeah,
so
obviously playing Celtic tonight, so it'd be interesting to see if he gets on the pitch or not. But yeah, apparently some real excitement about younger Phil Foden. What a great name. 16 on the Manchester City bench for that game against Celtic tonight. Jordan Rhodes is used to sitting on benches for Middlesbrough. Interesting. Well, he is, it's fact.
Yeah, right, okay.
And interesting, some championship clubs ahead of the January window. Who's the favourites, do you think, to sign Jordan Rhodes?
It's not really a surprise that kind of the same clubs are popping up, the same clubs are being linked with him. And those clubs, Sheffield Wednesday and Derby, I think, are the two that have been mentioned. Of course, Sheffield Wednesday, I think underachieving would probably be a fair assessment at the moment, considering where they were last season, playoff finalists, struggling this season, got a win at the weekend, but not exactly short of money. I'm sure they'll be kind of aiming for playoffs minimum again this season, and to add someone like Jordan Rhodes, they're already deadly kind of attacking options that they've got, because Wednesday, player for player, probably have the best strikers, maybe bar Newcastle, in the Championship. So to add Jordan Rhodes to that would be massive for them, and I think that would certainly help them push up the table to where they want to be.
Yeah. Do you think they've already got too much, and that's maybe been their problem this season?
Yeah, say so when you look at, like, you've got Fletcher, Forestieri, Kochkin Flower, Hooper, there's Breach there as well, of course, who's an attacking option, really. Yeah, I think it'd be too much, but is it...
It seemed like intent on doing that, and if there's an opportunity to keep improving, that they will. And maybe someone needs to go. Would you think they might revisit the Forestieri thing if... And maybe...
I think there's going to be interest in him, as kind of you expect of any top player, but would they have to sell?
They don't really, they necessarily have to, but I think just keeping
players happy,
and harmony within the squad, is they maybe would have to let somebody go.
Yeah, I guess. I think they've shown, like you said, over the past few transfer windows since the Shansiri takeover, that they've kind of been intent on, if players are available, buying them to kind of add the quality, but... Yeah, I don't think Jordan Rhodes would be a bad signing for him.
It is a question. Would you have him at Leeds? People say Leeds need a striker. Still, obviously, Chris Wood is the main established front man. Had injury problems last season. Dakara comes in, can play wide, can play down the middle. Roof can play down the middle as well, starting to come into his own. But they do need another body, and maybe a loan until the end of the season. Someone like Jordan Rhodes could be the difference.
I think Jordan Rhodes would be massive for a team like Leeds, who are where they are. They've got the promotion intention, I think, now. Can't be any harm. Of course, you're not going to say he's going to displace Wood, but maybe someone to play alongside him. Dakara, he can have good games, but he can have bad games as well. And, you know, I've got nothing bad to say about Roof so far. He's really coming into it. So I think someone like Jordan Rhodes would maybe help Roof's development alongside, you know, playing as well. I don't think it'd be a bad move at all because, you know, after Wood, Leeds kind of struggle with their striking options, and he's a proven goal scorer. So 100%, I think if the opportunity came, I'd hope Leeds would sign him.
There we go. Jordan Rhodes' future dealt with. Tom's having him at Leeds. Robbie Nielsen is the new head coach, manager of the MK Dons. And that has meant that Ian Cathro, the Newcastle coach, has been appointed the Hearts head coach. So movement both sides of the board. Robbie Nielsen, though, a good appointment for you?
I think so. I think it's difficult with MK Dons because we're kind of at that situation at the moment where, or that time of season where we're talking about kind of the managerial changes and you're left going, well, who is there? Who can there be? And I think they've kind of looked outside the box, really, with going for Nielsen, who's, of course, been at Hearts previously. I think that's been his only managerial job, if I'm right in saying. So not done too bad of a job there. I think it's going to be a bit of a big step up to move to the Football League, to League One. But can it really get any worse? You know, he's not walking into a bad situation, not like a Rotherham, but the only way surely got to be up for MK Dons. So I think there's going to be limited pressure on him considering the start of the season they have. And, you know, for MK Dons, they've got to hope he's the man to push him up.
Yeah, Robbie Nielsen in charge of the MK Dons. Next, we're going to be joining Liam Williams, preparing for kickoff as Doncaster are in action against Blackpool in the Checkatrade Trophy. We've reached the knockout stage, and we'll speak to Liam next.
Your favorite New York Italian restaurant, Frankie and Benny's, are giving you 50% off great taste and main courses. You got it. 50% off Sunday through Friday from 5. Just download their app or sign up online for your voucher. So get together and let Frankie and Benny's take care of the cooking. Minimum 2 main courses required. Exclusions apply.
Hello, it's me, Danny Parkinson, from the Radio Yorkshire Daytimes. Every weekday from 11 till 2, we have great sports chat, interviews, some menial chat, and every weekday you can get that. But we also like to have a good healthy dose of having your dreams crushed.
Get more inexperienced driver, so it's very interesting. It has come as a shock today.
Are you right there? There is a seat in the car. I did go-karting in Benidorm. I think my chances are, Joe.
You got no chance. Oh, I mean, the G-force that goes through a Formula One car would kill you, Danny.
I'll show you, Joe. There's still time. Yeah, come to see that. I really can't be bothered. So join me, Danny Parkinson, every weekday from 11 till 2 for all the best tunes and chat to help you get you through your workday.
He's so Yorkshire, he makes me sound southern. Danny P on Radio Yorkshire.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Can't wait till the Benidorm Grand Prix. Danny Parkinson back from 11 o'clock tomorrow morning on Daytimes. In the meantime, on the FL 72, we are crossing over to Doncaster for the Checkatrade Trophy. We've reached the knockout stages now. Exciting stuff. And our man Liam Williams is there. Liam, describe the scenes ahead of this historic night.
It's pandemonium in the stands, Sam. The tension is palpable. The I think 24 Blackpool supporters who've made the journey over, you can tell that this one means the world to them.
What about the Donny fans? Have they turned out in force?
Well, it's funny actually. I think the last time I was here, I mean, there's still, you know, nearly 10 minutes to kick off, but I think there were more fans here last time for the group stage. Now we're in the knockout. Maybe the kick off time's thrown people, but I think there are still a few more to come. There aren't very many here at the moment.
Yeah, maybe there'll be a big rush at half time.
Yeah, there was a lot of traffic outside the grounds. Maybe that's what it is.
Coming in. Talk us through the teams for tonight. Do we have strong lineups for both teams?
Well, I thought Doncaster were actually field a stronger side, considering they had the weekend off, being knocked out of the FA Cup in the first round, of course. But they've made 9 changes from their last side of the field in the league against Stevenage. Darren Ferguson's named more of an EFL trophy side. He's made just 4 changes from the last game, that was against Port Vale. And Blackpool as well. Gary Boy has made 10 changes from the side that beat Brackley in the FA Cup. So I think both sides could have probably named a stronger side than they have done. But I think, yeah, heavily rotated sides for both sides this evening.
Yeah, and Donny going pretty well. I suppose it's a nice bonus, the Checkatrade Trophy, to keep progressing.
Well, I think Darren Ferguson's made no secret of his desire to win this one, whereas Blackpool, I think, are taking it a little less seriously. So I thought Doncaster would have fielded a slightly stronger side than they have, but I do fancy them to make it 5 on the bounce today. I think if they played them in the league and they both were at the strongest, Doncaster would be favourites for the game. That's the way I see it tonight as well. The only two players who have made it from their last game against Stevenage are Marco Morosi, the goalkeeper, and Niall Mason. The 9 changes are Wright, Garrett, Avina, Keegan, who is the captain tonight, Calder, Middleton, Alfie Beeston is back in the lineup, Williams and Longbottom. And the only player to have made it from Blackpool's FA Cup win is Bright Osayi Samuel. The rest of the team, Linus in goal, McAllister, Abeson, Cullen, Nolan, Yates, Phyllis Kirk, Hyam Kane and Nondwile.
Excellent stuff. In fact, under-23 teams are obviously in the competition. Norwich under-23s play Swansea under-23s tonight. Do you reckon we could see an under-23 winner of this competition?
I'd be surprised if we see an under-23 finalist of this competition. I just think that... I don't know, I can't see it. I just can't see it. You know, the teams that are at this level, it means more to them, I feel. I think, you know, there is perhaps slightly higher ability levels with certain under-23 teams. Particularly the ones who've got through. I think Swansea were excellent in the group stages, if I remember correctly. But I just think when push comes to shove and Wembley's in sight for these actual professional footballers who are, you know, first team players for their teams in the Football League, I just think I hope they'll have too much, and I think they probably will.
Tom, do you reckon another 23 cycle?
Yeah, I was going to say, the only thing that strikes me is just how serious some of these first teams are taking them, that they seem to want to get knocked out. And Liam, I think you said, 9 changes?
Yeah.
For Doncaster. Yeah, and I think the EFL were fining teams in the last round for kind of playing weaker squads. I think that's maybe showing that the first teams aren't taking it as seriously. And you've got the likes of Norwich, under-23s, who look really, really impressive in the group stages.
Well, I think Darren Ferguson is... I think he genuinely is looking to go all out for this. Well, I say all out, you know, as reasonably as you can, you know, while prioritising the league. But I do think that the 5 changes rule, presuming that that's still in effect for the knockouts, which I believe it is, they can still name 5 players from tonight in their game at the weekend. Who they are, I'm not sure. I mean, Morosi, Mason, maybe Wright, maybe Williams. It's hard to know. But I'm assuming that they will still name 5 players from tonight at the weekend, so they'll avoid any potential fines.
Excellent stuff. Liam, thank you very much. Kick-off approaching. We shall let you enjoy the game.
Cheers, fellas.
There we go. That is Liam Williams, our man at the Keepmount. Well, what a game he's got in store. Kick-off in 3 minutes' time. And 3 minutes' time, Tom, means that we're running out of time to squeeze this in.
We
we can't not do the original Tom Condor feature. We can't the let feature. The new one overtake it and chuck it out. We've still got to squeeze it in. But we are short for time, and it is it's an FA Cup Good Days, Bad Days special. Always enjoy these special versions of your feature. And go on then, get us underway. Good Days, Bad Days. Who's had a good day? Who's had a bad day? Championship and FA Cup.
Yeah, like I said, FA Cup, because there were only two games in League Two, so it'd be a bit weird to pick from there. So Championship, good. Leeds. Mentioned them already. Gary Monk's side saw off Aston Villa in front of a bumper Elland Road crowd to move up to fourth in the Skybet Championship table. Bad day for another team we've mentioned, Reading. A huge 5-0 defeat to Fulham. It's a bad result for a team who are in the playoff places and I'm sure will have some promotion aspirations at the moment. FA Cup, two good days, two bad days. Good day, AFC Wimbledon coming back from 3-0 down with four goals in 14 minutes. In the last 14 minutes, including a 94th-minute winner to beat Curzon Ashton 4-3. And then a good day for Cambridge United. Mentioned them, of course, Leeds United's opponents in the next round. Convincing 4-0 win over League One side Coventry City. Bad day for Chesterfield. 5-0 home loss to League Two side Wickham Wanderers. And then Oldham, of course, losing 3-2 to National League side Lincoln City last night. Good day, bad day for FA Cup and Championship.
Excellent stuff. AFC Wimbledon, the new Bournemouth.
AFC Wimbledon. See, I tipped them to finish sixth when we did our League One predictions, etc. And I think it's becoming right at the moment.
Oh, well done, you. Well done. There's still a long way to go, as Danny Parkinson keeps saying about all his terrible predictions. So that's all we've got time for. Glad we squeezed that one in. Tom, thank you very much as ever. We shall be back next week. The news at 7.